Welcome to the Menopause Conversations podcast. My name's Angela Council, and I am your host for this podcast. And this is where you learn all about menopause, what is happening to your body, to your hormones, and life in general. Everything is changing, and sometimes it can seem really, really confusing. But this is where the confusion stops right now. This podcast will share with you everything you need to know about how you can navigate your menopause transition with ease. So sit back and enjoy the show. Bye for now. Hello and welcome back to this week's episode of Menopause Conversations podcast. My name is Angela Council, your host for this podcast. And today I thought I'd have a little bit of a chat about hormone imbalances. These are words that as naturopaths we use quite often, but what does that mean? And specifically, what does it mean when we're talking about menopause? Because in essence, menopause is a state of hormone imbalance for part of the transition. And what this means is that we've got hormones changing. Now, the two primary hormones that I'm going to be talking about today, and these by no means the only hormones that can get out of balance, but I'm going to be talking about estrogen and progesterone. Now, with our cycles, you know, we pretty much know they're cyclical, but our hormones are cyclical as well. So with estrogen, when you're in a reproductive stage of life, basically at the beginning of your cycle, so day one when you start to bleed, estrogen is pretty low. And then as it comes to the middle of the cycle, when you ovulate, estrogen comes up high, and then it drops off again. And progesterone kind of works in the opposite way, in that the first half of the cycle, it stays low. And then once the egg is released after ovulation, then progesterone levels are higher. And that's because progesterone is made in part of the egg, which is known as the corpus luteum. Now, if the egg is fertilized and you become pregnant, progesterone continues to go up. If you don't come fall pregnant, then progesterone will drop off and that will trigger your period to start. And then it kind of starts all over again. Now, as we're kind of coming through the menopause transition, what happens is as we're running out of eggs, that or the egg quality is lower, that progesterone rise doesn't happen every cycle because the corpus luteum isn't producing enough progesterone, or the egg hasn't released, so there's no corpus luteum. So progesterone is actually the first hormone that starts to decline because we don't ovulate every month. And whilst progesterone is coming down, what's actually happening with estrogen, and this is what many women don't understand, is that estrogen can sometimes actually be going higher than it was when you were in your reproductive stage of life. So it's not a linear decline. It's not as if everything just starts coming downwards. That's not what happens. Estrogen is a little bit like a roller coaster, and it's going up and down and up and down and up and down, whilst progesterone might come down and then one month it might peak again and then it might drop again. So it's kind of this is a continual cycle going on, but it's a lot more erratic. It's one of the reasons why blood tests are not a very efficient way of determining what's going on with your cycle or whether or not you're in the menopause transition, because these hormones change so often. And what happens, and this is what we mean by imbalance, is that there's a larger gap between progesterone and estrogen as progesterone is going lower and estrogen sometimes is going higher. And it's in this gap where a lot of the symptoms that are associated with menopause generally occur. So what causes hormone imbalances? Now, obviously, as I said, there's that natural change in the hormones as your ovaries produce less eggs, so produce less estrogen and then less progesterone. But also the ovaries speak to the brain, and there's a part of the brain called the pituitary gland, and the ovaries, the messages between the ovaries and the brain start to get a little bit mixed up. They're not getting through, and the brain is sending all these messages to the ovaries. The ovaries aren't responding, And then sometimes we get this surge in hormones because all of a sudden the ovaries has all these backup of messages and says, okay, let's send out a whole pile of estrogen. So now we've got all this unpredictability about our hormones, and some are coming up and some are coming down. And this then can impact your cycle. You may bleed heavier, you might not bleed for, you know, a couple of months. So this is all to do with what we call a hormonal imbalance. But there's other things that actually can cause him hormonal imbalances, and not just within this menopause transition, also in your standard reproductive cycle. And the big part of that is stress. Stress plays a massive role in your production or in your hormones, the balance of your hormones. And as your ovaries stop producing as much estrogen and you're not releasing eggs, the adrenal glands have the ability to produce some of this additional hormone to help things along. But when we're highly stressed, the adrenal glands will always produce adrenal hormones, so stress hormones, at the sake of the reproductive hormones. We need stress hormones to kind of keep us alive. Reproductive hormones keep us comfortable. So if there's limited resources, the adrenal glands are going to produce the stress hormones. So stress plays a massive role in our production of our hormones, particularly as we're coming through this time of life, but also in our reproductive years. And I can remember being told many, many years ago that someone said, your monthly cycle is like a report card of how you've looked after yourself with stress and food and lifestyle choices for the previous month. So, you know, women who are experiencing lots of PMS symptoms, that's a hormone imbalance. And quite often you'll find it is worse when there's a lot of stress going on. Your diet, so the food you're eating, also plays a really important role in keeping hormones balanced as well. So when you've got a diet that's high in processed foods, sugary foods, all these highly inflammatory foods, this impacts your hormones as well, because it stresses the body. Your exercise can also, or lack of exercise or too much exercise can also impact your hormones. And we do know that for elite athletes, that when they're doing a lot of exercise, it can actually shut down their period. Their periods stop. So we can see that the impact of movement plays a big role in at the balance of our hormones. So if you're either not moving enough or you're over-exercising, that can cause hormone imbalances as well. And then we also need to look at environmental toxins, and these can play a role as well, because we have toxins which are known as xenoestrogens. So they're like synthetic estrogens which can disrupt our natural estrogen and displace our natural estrogen in the receptors. So basically make it appear to the brain that there's more estrogen in the body than there really is, and that blocks the action of our natural hormones. So now we've got more imbalances going on. And also toxins also stress the body out. So we're once again in this cycle of stress and producing too much of the stress hormone and not enough of the reproductive hormones. And then there are other health conditions that also can impact your hormones, things like thyroid conditions. Low thyroid can actually impact your hormone levels as well. And we also then have to look at the thyroid levels. If they're not high enough or they're too high, that also impacts what's going on in your body and can actually cause symptoms that are known as menopause symptoms. Not necessarily they're directly related to menopause, but they're related to the thyroid, and they become more obvious at this time of life. So what can we do about these different types of imbalances that are going on? Well, number one, it's really important to understand these fluctuations are normal and they do occur in all women. But the level of variation in hormones really does depend on the individual woman, depending on their diet, what's going on with their health, their lifestyle, their exposure to environmental toxins, and all of those other things that I just spoke about. But there are a few things that we can do to help, you know, regulate the hormones and reduce the symptoms. And number one is look at the food that we're eating. And I'll go into that in a little bit more detail in a minute, particularly what we call phytoestrogens. finding ways to reduce stress, and whether or not that's the mental load, the emotional stress, or just the physical stress that's going on in your body. And that physical stress can come from food, movement, environmental toxins, sleep, and all of those type of things. So what can we do? You can't get rid of, it's very difficult to get rid of all stress in your life, but there's some things you might be able to do to manage some of those stress, and there's different techniques that you can use, and yoga, meditation, journaling are just some of the things that you can do. There's many other tools out there as well. I mentioned environmental toxins, that they cause a load on the body, and xenoestrogens, which can actually cause an imbalance, because we now have these toxins that look like our own hormones sitting in our body, reacting, making our body react to them when we actually they displace our natural hormones. So this can also cause imbalance. So avoiding those type of toxins, and those toxins are in things like plastics, personal care products, cosmetics quite often are high in these type of these toxins that can impact your hormones. Getting exercise, so regular exercise, not too much exercise and not too little. So basically finding that happy medium that works for you, moving your body is always going to be really good for you. And a good night's sleep. Sleep is amazing. It's very restorative. And when we sleep, a lot of our hormones actually start to regulate themselves. And when we're not getting, particularly talk about cortisol, our stress hormone, when we're getting a good night's sleep means that our sleep hormone is up high, and when our sleep hormone is up high, our cortisol is down low, which is what we want. So because melatonin and cortisol kind of work opposite to each other, so a good night's sleep is always going to help to reduce stress in your body and help to manage the hormones. Now, I did say that I'd talk a little bit more about phytoestrogens. So what are phytoestrogens? They're naturally occurring plant chemicals that very much resemble estrogen. And when we take them in our diet, they have a weaker effect than our natural hormone, but they can bind to the receptors and exert this estrogen-like effect on the body. And that means that they can support our hormones, our natural hormones. So as our natural hormones are coming down, then these phytoestrogens can actually help to level them up. And if they're too high, they actually lower down our estrogen levels. And if they're too low, they help to raise them up. So it's really, phytoestrogens is a very good regulator of hormones. And we can get phytoestrogens, as I said, they're plant-based chemicals, so we can get them. Soy is high in phytoestrogens. Flax seeds, sesame seeds, legumes like lentils, beans, chickpeas, certain fruits and vegetables have them. Nuts, in particular, almonds and walnuts, and some herbs like wild yam, black cohosh, and red clover. These are all really great to help to balance up your hormones. And they're, as I said, they're very beneficial to women because they do have this weaker estrogen-like effect. And when your hormone levels are starting to come down, your estrogen levels are starting to come down, they can help to manage many of your symptoms, things like hot flushes, night sweats, vaginal dryness. They can actually help there. Also, estrogen plays this really crucial role in maintaining bone density. So phytoestrogens can actually help maintain bone density as well by compensating for the loss of the natural estrogen that happens as we move through the menopause transition. Also, heart health, once again, as we come through menopause, we are at higher risk. Women are at higher risk due to our loss of estrogen. So phytoestrogens can actually help that by, having the foods that are high in phytoestrogens, you can actually help to support your heart health and counteract the loss of the natural estrogen levels. But it is really important to know that it is actually, the use of these phytoestrogens is dependent on many different things. You know, it depends on the woman, depends on her health, it depends on what's going on with her hormones. Also, her gut health, that plays a really big role as well, because if your gut's not working properly, you're not able to metabolize these chemicals out of the plants and to be able to use them in the body. So they are very beneficial, and many women use them and find that they work well. For other women, it may not be, they may not work as well. And you know, it is an individual thing, but there, and you know, there's many products out there if you want to be looking at some of the herbal supplements, or just start with some of these foods in your diet and see what they do. I do have there is another podcast, and I'll put the link in the show notes for seed cycling. Seed cycling is using some seeds that are high in phytoestrogens to help to balance up the hormone. It works really well when you are cycling, and even when you're not cycling. And I explain that in the podcast. So I will share the link to that particular episode as well. But the main thing when it comes to managing hormones and understanding what's going on is really, it is having a better understanding of the way hormones work. I would love it if more women understood how their hormones work before they get to this time of life. I teach women, you know, as they're coming through this transition, about their hormones, and it would be great if women understood this, you know, from the time that they're, when they first started getting their periods, and understand how the hormones change and how they impact the way we feel and how what we do can impact our hormones. That would be absolutely fantastic. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen. So I do my education now with women who are moving through this time of life. And I do have a special event coming up. It's a free masterclass called the Menopause Demystified Masterclass. It's coming up on the 18th of April. If you would like to join me, come along, and I'll be talking more about this, more about what some of what I've been sharing here on this podcast. So if you want to register for that, just go to angelacouncil.com. So angelacouncil.com/menopause_webinar, all in small letters. So angelacouncil.com/menopause_webinar. Go over there, register for the workshop, and I'll be sharing more about the different hormones, what happens as they shift, the different ways you can manage them, manage this change, and I'll give you a better understanding of the link between the brain, the ovaries, and the adrenal glands as well. We'll go into that in a lot more detail in this masterclass. So come along, join me, completely free, and it's all about, this is all about education. I'm not selling anything on this workshop at all. It's really about me sharing this information with as many women as possible. So that's it from me for this episode of the Menopause Conversations podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. Please, if you have enjoyed it, please leave a rating and review wherever it is that you are listening to this podcast, and share it with other women. Other women who you think would really want to understand a little bit more about what's happening to their body as they move through this time of life. So thank you so much for being here, and I'll be back next week with another episode where we're going to talk a little bit more about something else to do with menopause. There's so much to talk about, so I'll be back then. Bye for now.